As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Potted Together podcast. My name is Adam, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts Becca and Nicole. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm just now realizing that it's been a long time since I've led, because that felt weird, you know?
Yeah, I think it has been a long time since you've led.
It's funny because we typically take turns leading, but it's like
sharing.
I forget after 3 weeks what our intro is.
Yeah.
Becca, what are you drinking out of?
My cup is inside of this tape. I don't know. I just did that. I don't know.
I was like, is this a blender situation? What is going on?
It's just water. Your girl has got to hydrate, you know.
Hydrate. A parasite's sucking the life out of you.
She's taking it. She's taking it all. I've been so dizzy the last couple days, though. Like, well, when I was filming videos, I was just talking and I was like seeing stars. Like, my vision was going. I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, no. God,
do you have a life alert? That scares me.
Oh, God.
If I stop talking for a while, you know, it's okay. I'm anemic, so it happens.
So is Mia. Mia, like, will go to do something and she's like, oh, I got up too fast. And I was like, that's not normal. Did you take your iron this morning?
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Wait, I get dizzy if I get up too fast. That's not normal?
No.
Oh my gosh, really?
Unless you're like whipping yourself out of bed, then yeah. But like,
no, if I'm down on the floor and I stand up, I'm like, okay, I need a second because things are spinning a bit.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, that shouldn't happen. Oh.
Do you think maybe it's because you're tall though? No, maybe. That's not normal.
It's a long ways from the floor to the top.
Yeah, that's like a long way to fall.
It is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, today we're going to be talking about summer care. Summer plant care, what we're doing, what's happening, what's going on. But, you know, we do our little chatty catch-ups first.
What's the 411? What's the Mean Girls? What's the hot goss?
What's the 411?
I'm a cool mom, not a regular mom.
That's true. All right, catch up.
I went to Northwestern University yesterday. Can I talk about that?
Oh, well, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. Someone's raring to go.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to talk about it. I have to talk about how I was living vicariously through my 15-year-old. Okay, like, I've heard of parents doing this before and being like, you're going to go here because you should, and like all this, you know, like, because they wanted to. I never wanted to go to college. Like, never wanted to go. Like, I hated school. Barely made it through high school. I passed. I graduated. Yeah. But, like, by the skin of my teeth.
And your little plaid skirt.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And my plaid skirt. But then, I went to Northeastern University, which is not a big university. It's, I mean, honestly, I feel like it shouldn't even be a university. It should be, like, a community college. Oh, did you get it?
I don't think so.
You got to do the slide.
I know.
I didn't see.
We're
going to
be talking about fungus gnats later.
I didn't
later.
See the slide.
But anyway, so we toured Northwestern, which is a university in Evanston, Illinois. It's like 2 miles from Chicago. And Mia's kind of been wanting to go there. She's been doing some research. It's a kind of a hard school to get into. It's, they call it like the Ivy League of the Midwest. It's a very good school. But like, I have never toured an actual university as a 40-year-old adult. Like, I've never been to, I've never been to a college. Like, it just wasn't a thing for my parents. They didn't care. My brother, my dad has 2 kids outside of my mom that are older. My brother went to college, but he like did it on his own and went out of state. And like, I just never bothered with it, you know? I went to Northeastern for 2 years, but then like I worked full time in between there. So like, I never really took it seriously. And then I just worked full time. But this whole college experience thing is so cool. And this is not new to most people, but it was very new to me. And it was just so beautiful. Like, Northwestern was around, I think they were founded in like the late 1800s. And the build, like the architecture of some of these buildings are just so incredible. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt like I was walking around like what I imagine Harvard or like Yale campuses to look like. Like, it was just so beautiful, you know? But it was also pretty cool because there's like, I guess it's the only college outside of like Florida or California that actually have like private beaches, because we're off of Lake Michigan. So like, they have 2 private beaches and like,
wow,
you can rent kayaks and like boats. And I'm like, this is the fucking life. They planted trees in the proper proximity to one another to accommodate hammocks. So they like rent out hammocks for students. It's just like all these little tiny things. I was like, oh, you got to go here. This is so fun. But it was a lot of fun. I got a little sunburn. Can we see it on my forehead a little bit?
Did you not wear sunscreen?
Well, I did. But we're talking about me here, okay? I was outside for 3 hours walking around in the sun. But it was, like, tolerable because we were right off of the lake. So it felt cool. Like, it didn't really feel that hot. And
you need to reapply every 2 hours, Nicole. That's where they get you.
I did not reapply. So I got, like, you know, like, in the creases. I'm all patchy. Anyway. But it was just really cute and we had a really good time. So she's excited about it. But we're going to tour some other schools because just in case. And she is only a freshman. So like, I was like, there's a lot of time to look and make decisions.
There is not a lot of time. She's got to get in clubs. She has got to get those scholarships because that school is going. I mean, you know, that's cha-ching.
Yeah. So ticket price of Northwestern University is like $88,000 a year.
Jesus. Oh,
which,
God.
You know, America, am I right? Like, yeah. I just don't get it. Careful. I don't understand.
Careful.
We're losing people because apparently we don't like America. No, like, I just think that that's a lot of money. And I'm not saying that, obviously, professors deserve every dollar more money than they get, of course.
Well,
oof. I did do some research on the price, and allegedly it comes up as like being like the price is justified on most people's checklists because of what the school offers. But it is. It's a lot of money. So our biggest thing is that, you know, we can't afford a university cost, so they'll have to get scholarships or they'll have to get financial aid. I really don't want any of the kids taking out student loans just because we all know what student loans do to you after graduation.
Yep.
And I just feel like it literally sets young adults up for complete failure or just stress, you know? And a lot of the times you don't graduate with a career. You have to find it. You have to go out and find it. And it's bullshit.
Yeah, school.
Is Mia leaning towards a certain thing that she would like to do?
Yeah, so she's going to be taking psychology next year. And she's thinking of majoring in psychology and minoring in business. But she's not 100% sure. She's going to see how she likes psychology. She's always been interested in it. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't know if she's actually going to like it. So she's, mm-hmm. which I'm like, as a sophomore in high school, you're allowed to, you can take psychology class. Like that just wasn't offered to me.
No. So what career path would you have with a psychology major? That's the thing I never understand.
Well, I don't know. Like she's thinking of possibly becoming a psychologist and like maybe having a private practice. So she's thinking like if she did business as a minor, that would set her up for owning her own psychology business, you know?
Yeah.
But also if she doesn't like psychology, she knows that she wants to have her own business. She doesn't know what she wants it to be, but she likes all the little like arts and crafts things. She's creative. So maybe she'd open up like, I don't know, like a gift shop or something and on the side, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's so hard for these kids because like even Tia, like Kayla's still young. She's not in high school yet, but like they don't know what they want to do. And like, no. I sure as shit didn't know what I wanted to do.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like in my 30s, I was like, yeah, I wish I would have went to school for something completely different. Cause like right now, this is not what I want to do with my life.
Mm-hmm. I know. And you're right though for saying she doesn't have a lot of time because she's already talking to her counselor about the requirements for Northwestern. And it is crazy. Like they do want you to play sports every year of high school. They want to see that you're involved in the community. They want to see that you're in a bunch of clubs and it's like take AP classes and it's just kind of wild. So,
yeah.
I'm like, listen, you know, you'll figure it out. But we're going to tour University of Michigan in Ann Arbor in August.
Fun. That's so fun. I feel like college visits, they just like do such a good job at making you want to go there. Like every college visit I ever did, I left and I was like, that's where I want to go. And then I go to the next one and I'd feel the exact same way. Like they just have this like infectious energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never even toured the college that I ended up going to. Never
really?
Did. Yeah.
You're like, fuck it. I mean, I feel like I didn't know this was a thing. I really didn't. Like being a parent, like, I mean.
As a freshman, I never knew anyone that went and looked. But that's because that's for the people who are ahead of their game. So that's Mia.
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, she definitely wanted to do this, but also like I'm thinking about it from the thought of like, this will get you excited about what to look forward to in the next 4 years, which is going to come and go so fast. And also it'll let you know, like you look into the college and see what their prerequisites are. And like, you can take those specific classes or just make sure that you're enrolled in AP classes or whatever, you know. It's just something to look forward to. So she's so cute. We bought a Northwestern like, you know, felt flag, and she's got a mood board, you know, on in her room. It's very Gilmore Girls. Okay.
Oh, I love it.
And she's got like a binder, and she's gonna keep each college separate and like weigh the options. It's very cute.
That's good.
I'm here for it. I get nervous about, you know, the expectations these schools have on these kids. Like the acceptance rate at Northwestern, I think, is 7 or 8%. I don't have my AirPods in again, so.
Oh, shit.
It's okay. I do the editing, so we're fine. Shit.
We're going to have to remind myself. You. Well, it's only 14 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
Of hell.
Like last time it was like 40.
Yeah.
It's like between 7 and 8%. So like 2,000 kids get in each year, I think, but like 20,000 apply or something like that. It's scary. Yeah.
That is wild. You know?
Yeah.
That is wild. But, well, I mean, Rory wanted to go to, spoiler alert, Rory wanted to go to Harvard, like her whole career, and then high school career. And then she decided to go to Yale, and she was so happy.
She decided on Yale. Yep, she was very happy.
You never know.
It was a good choice for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, like, I'm thinking, like, okay, like, I guess the next election will kind of tell us where we're headed, but I'm like, you know, our surrounding states, we don't want to go down there. We don't want to go to any red states because you're going to be a young adult, a young adult woman. Yeah. And you just don't want to get that sad, you know, because there's some good schools down there. Yeah, but it's scary. So anyway, that was the highlight of my week, and it made me realize that I really wish I would have went to college and had that whole college experience, but here I am. I'm not going back to college, but
I can live vicariously
through.
Yeah, you can live through her. And then I'm a cool mom, you know?
I'm a cool mom. Come visit. What are we eating? Pizza? Let's order.
Nicole's in the dorm playing Edward 40 Hands with all the kids.
Oh my God.
I got the tape. Oh God.
Oh my God, stop.
Do kids still play that, do you think?
Oh God, I don't know.
I just wonder what things that I was like that we all did in our years. Well, okay. Yeah. I'm sitting here
giggling along. I don't know what Edward 40 Hands is. I was just like, hee hee.
Isn't it where I have no idea
what that is.
40s, which is like a large beer.
A beer, like a really 40 ounce beer. You tape it around your hand.
So like, your hands are just 40s, you know?
Got it.
Did people do that when you were in school, Becca?
I've seen it in movies.
Or were they too busy with the Twitter and the Facebooks?
We were just too busy. No, I didn't party a lot in college, so I really honestly wouldn't know. I went to like two fraternity parties, and one of them was so scarring that I left 5 minutes after, and then the second one, I went swing dancing with an alum.
I was going to say you were swing dancing with that guy.
I was swing dancing and he tried to kiss me like 3 times. I was like, don't mess up my lipstick. No, I don't want to kiss you. And then he walked me to the game and it was very juvenile. To the homecoming game. So that was really like, I didn't really party in college. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I was so much better. I was like deeply entangled in possibly a cult. So...
definitely a cult.
So, you know.
That's another thing. Like, Greek life at Northwestern is not very big. And Mia's not, well, as of now, she's only 15. But, like, she doesn't have an interest in that. Like, she's not looking for that part of things. Although, when you graduate high school, once you go to a few parties in high school, I feel like you're like, yeah. I could do this. You know?
Wait, speaking of Greek life, did either of you watch the Bama Rush documentary?
No.
I want to.
Skip it.
Oh, it's okay, bad. So...
It's not good.
Okay. Like, define not good.
It's very off topic. Like, they didn't do what the trailer said they were going to do, essentially. Because it was like, they made it sound like they were going to like expose Greek life. Like, no one will want to join sororities after this. And it was just not, there's no cohesive storyline. The director inserted herself a lot. And like, she had things to say and that's valuable. But like in this documentary, I don't know. You know what I mean? It was just off topic. And it was like, why are we talking about this when we're supposed to be talking about this? You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when I was a freshman going to school, like I saw all the Greek tables set up at the union and I was like, losers, like no interest whatsoever. But I did join a fraternity when I was a junior. But I feel like at that point I was already like, I couldn't be succumbed to peer pressure that would happen to freshmen joining Greek life. Like people being like, oh, you have to do this. I'm like, I'm older than you and I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but I did make some of my best friends there, but it definitely was not something I ever thought about doing. And the only reason I did is because my girlfriend in college was in a sorority. And then I just was around that life and around those people and met some guys in the fraternity that I joined at UNL. And I was like, yeah, this is a good group of guys. And it was really like, it was good. But that's not everyone's experience. And also the whole rush thing for sororities in my campus was a lot different. They had formal rush, whereas fraternities were just open. Mm-hmm. But formal rush is like taking a week and you like visit the houses and then the houses put on a show. Well, I say put on a show, but they basically are told like how to act and like how you speak to people. And then at the end of that, everyone votes like who they want to join. So the people who are rushing say like, oh, this is my choice 1, 2, and 3. And then the sororities go through all of the people and choose who mm-hmm. they want to accept. And then they match them together. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird process because my girlfriend at the time was in a sorority and she was a president of a sorority, and just like watching what they all do and how fake it was, I was like, this feels weird. Like it feels like it's a facade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You weren't in a sorority, were you, Becca?
No. And I don't want to be insensitive if anybody out there was in a sorority. I'm sure you're great. Obviously you're listening to the pod. We would definitely be friends, but yeah. Most of the sorority girls that I interacted with were just not who people I would be friends with ever. And I if they were in my classes, they wouldn't show up or they just would be on their phone the whole time. Like, I don't know. I just didn't have a very good image of sorority girls. But Greek life is like pretty big at U of A. There's like a few that are like top houses and like they're all very hot. And, you know, it looked interesting. Like, one of my roommates was in a sorority and like she took me a few times to like eat lunch there and it was really nice. So like I get it. But no, just generally like the people that I would see in Greek life, I'm like, I would not be your friend. So I don't even want to entertain the thought. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
This is not my type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What college did you go to again, Adam?
University of Nebraska at Lincoln. UNL.
Oh, Lincoln. Okay. 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 Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's really not interested in all that, but I'm like, maybe you will be.
She doesn't seem like one that would.
No, and yeah, I think she would find her group elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, I think so too.
In clubs and stuff.
Yeah, she's like artsy and angsty. I just don't, like, sorority girls just usually aren't like that. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Typically, generally, let's say.
Unless you're in the sorority of House Bunny. Those girls were... I love that movie so much.
That's such a great movie.
Remember, ladies, the eyes are the nipples of the face.
House Bunny. Have you ever seen it?
The movie's called House Bunny?
House Bunny with Anna Faris.
Why does this sound familiar, but not?
She was a Playboy bunny who got kicked out of the mansion, and then she stumbled upon a sorority house that was kind of dilapidated. Emma Stone's in it. And she becomes their house mother.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It's super funny.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to watch it.
Yeah.
There's some like trending so TikTok sounds quotes. For that. Like the whole like, oh, no, those girls are all boobs and no brains.
Oh, is that from there?
Yeah.
I'll be in a library reading dusty books.
Oh, my God. So funny. Oh, that's funny.
But, yeah. I don't know. Girls support girls always. It just wasn't my crowd, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But.
All right, Becca. What's been up with you lately? Other than, you know, growing a human.
Growing a human. Well, here's a growing the human update. This will be brief because it was very, you know, uneventful. But a couple days ago, she didn't like kick at all. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Because she's, you know, at this late in pregnancy, it's like she's rolling around, you know, like I'm feeling it all day. And that this one particular day, like I went up to get to go to the bathroom. Typically that wakes her up and she starts moving and that didn't happen. I was like, okay, well... And I woke up for the second time, still no movement. Like, I just didn't feel her really all day. There was, like, tiny little nudges, but nothing more. And I was like, okay, well, tomorrow, if I still don't feel anything, I'm going to go into the ER. And then it was, like, 10:45. Like, Daniel's, like, you know, playing games with his friends. He's having a Saturday night, okay? And I was like, Dan, we have to go to the ER. I wasn't gonna be able to sleep unless I like made sure.
Yeah.
And I was really, I mean, as one does, I was like going through all the motions, like, and I feel like more than I should even have to because of where I live, but it just was really scary. And so we went and there was like nobody there, which was great. So we were the only patients in the ER.
Wow.
Because our like women's and children ER is separate from like the main one. So
That's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we went and they like strapped me up with the monitors, you know, did the urine test, did all the testing. And literally as soon as they put the monitor on my stomach to get her heart rate, she starts kicking like crazy. And I'm like, girl.
Little shit.
Like literally. She didn't move that big all day at all. And then like the monitor, like it keeps like making like a loud sound because she's literally kicking the monitor itself. And I'm like, yeah. You couldn't have just like done this at home. Anyway, so
you got a little joke in her hand. She was like, punked. I'm here, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it me and my drama? She just like wanted to scare me, I guess. I don't know. But this is really common. Like I've read about this in groups a lot. Yes. Like if you don't feel movement, just go in and it's fine. Like it's better to go in. It doesn't hurt. Not. Yeah. So yeah. It was my first time doing that and hopefully my last, you know. So did you get it? I saw the slide. You missed it.
I did. I think I missed it.
But yeah, so that was it. They gave me a soda and then she really kicked up. You know, it was just.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar. Yeah. But it was funny because Daniel is such a sweet man. I love him. He was like, well, is there, because they weren't going to give me an ultrasound. And I was like, okay, like, sure, I'll accept that. And he's like, oh, well, is there any way? Because, you know, we're first-time parents. Like, this is, like, pretty scary. Like, we just... Mm. So he, like, advocated. It was just really sweet. And I was like, wow. Another reason that I picked the right person. It was great.
Yeah.
Just little
Have
things
you done
like that.
Any research at all?
It's been 3 weeks, Daniel.
We found out yesterday. You should know everything by now. Oh, mercy. Yeah. So they
Daniel
did like a little.
Daniel provides like our best running jokes, honestly.
Yeah. He should really get a cut, you know?
Yeah. He should get royalties. Every time a joke is mentioned, he gets $10. Yeah, but so they did like a little impromptu. She was like, well, I'll see if I can find someone. But, you know, it's better to have someone who knows what they're looking at, because if they don't know what they're looking at, like it could cause more fear. And I was like, yeah, I totally get that. And she did end up finding someone who was just chilling and knew how to read ultrasounds. And I say he knew how to read ultrasounds. I can say maybe he observed a tech for one day and then was like, yeah, I know how to do this.
So like, man.
Yeah, like he found things. But, like, it was not good, like, a good picture. Oh. Like, we saw her heart beating and, like, we saw her legs and stuff. But, like, he could not find her head. And I was like, her head's, like, really low. And he just didn't seem like he wanted to, like, go down there. And I'm like, that's fine. I get it. Like, I was like, she's.
You're like, you got to get down there.
You got to get to the pubes. All right. Where the pubes are, that's where her head's at. Like, if you're not seeing hair, you're not seeing baby. Like, she is low.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, yeah, he was being a little ginger with it. But that's fine. We saw her. We saw what we needed to see. And bless the man who just decided to. It was like midnight, you know, so whatever. Yeah. Night shift. Yeah. He was just going through the motions. But, yeah, it was fine. Everything ended up being fine. But other than that, like, honestly, I started, like, organizing the nursery and I was trying to wait to film it, but like I physically could not. So things have the what is that called, like the primal urges have started. I need to wash the clothes and I need to hang them up and I need to get the books in the right spot. Like it's just like these little things that I'm like, why am I feeling so urgent about this? This is really silly.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's totally normal. It happened to me in full force.
Yeah. It. Yeah. So
yeah, but
we,
Nicole, you are you.
Yeah, you're very. I would say I'm type A. Nicole is something that is beyond type A. I don't know what that is.
Triple A.
Because I would consider myself a type A person until I talked to Nicole. I'm like, oh, I am very type B.
Got it. Sorry.
Yes.
Yay. Success.
But yeah, we ordered our stroller. We opened and like figured out our car seat. We know how to like lock it in the base and all of that. We have the crib, obviously. So yeah, we're like ready. Cause like I'm 34 weeks. Like really, If she came, yeah.
Really?
If I went into labor like tomorrow, they wouldn't stop it. They would just let it go, you know?
Right. Yeah, you kind of got to haul ass here.
Yeah. So I was telling Daniel this. I was like, I want to make it clear that if I went into labor tomorrow, they would let it happen. So we need to get shit done because we're procrastinating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me.
So.
Would you be offended?
You had the wallpaper.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say you had the wallpaper when I was there a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah. And I've since decided against wallpaper. Because I found a different solution that would be easier. So I'm just going to do a painted scallop border around the whole room.
Ooh.
Like half the wall, one color, half the wall, another color, and do a scallop border. Yeah. And then I found these really cute decals on Etsy. So it's like wallpaper effect.
That
but
is easier.
Not, yeah, I think that's going to be like way easier. Considering we're getting down to the wire and we both are like busy. I'm like, I don't want to do an entire room transformation if I haven't even done that in any other room in my house. Like, why would I spend the last 6 weeks doing that? So
for a baby,
for some baby I don't even know.
Do you guys remember
some baby
when
sends me to the hospital for no reason?
No reason.
I pray already.
Remember when wallpaper borders were like a huge thing?
Oh,
just
my
like,
gosh.
Yes. Like the 3-inch.
Oh,
inch,
God.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Like grapes. He just had like
at
grapes and bananas.
Grapes.
100%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like we're going to look back at the scallop thing that I'm doing or like wainscoting and like everybody's doing these like half wall things. We're going to look back and it's going to be the same effect as that, like border wallpaper.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. But what were you going to say, Adam?
I think that's what I was going to say. I was going to say something else, but I lost it.
Yeah.
What were we talking about right before the border being there?
We were talking
baby
about
sending me to the hospital for no reason.
Yeah.
No. Oh, dang it. It was going to
be ordering
good
the stroller?
No. Nope. I mean, it's gone. Mm-hmm. It's fully gone.
It's gone. That's fine. That's my only update, really, is I'm doing that. So,
yeah.
Adam?
Well, I've been listening to... Okay, so Mama, Taylor Swift.
She's going to be here.
I thought you were
this
calling
weekend,
me
you
Mama.
Guys.
I was like, don't.
Ew.
Ew. I made a face. I was like, you didn't.
Okay, mother. We should call her mother. Taylor Swift, people call her mother. Which is kind of weird. Honestly, mother's kind of pissing me off with the whole like, here's 18 different additions to my album that you can all buy. Like, I was
on
already
CD.
Annoyed. Yeah. Okay, so I was already annoyed with look, this is such a superficial catch up, but whatever. I was annoyed that, you know, she breaks all these records. Like, good for her. I think she deserves it. But, like, she's breaking sales records because she produces a vinyl that you have to buy 4 of to create a clock. Mm. So it's like, is that really, like, are you really breaking records because you're forcing everyone to buy 4 of something? Because
in
you turned
economy.
It in this economy. Well, she released a song from the vault called You're Losing Me. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but...
No, I didn't even know about this.
Anyway, so she only put it on a CD that you could buy at her New Jersey show last weekend. That's the only place you could find it.
You can't download it?
Well, okay, so she did this when she released Midnights too. She put the song It Hits Different on the Target CD only. It was a Target exclusive, but it just released on streaming this last week. So,
what the fuck?
Maybe like 6-7 months. It was only you could only get it if you had that Target CD. You could only hear it. Oh, I'm sure you could hear it online too, bootleg and stuff. Anyway, this song, You're Losing Me, it's probably one of the saddest songs I've ever heard in my entire life. And I have a happy relationship, but part of me's like, am I happy? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, shit. I shouldn't.
This makes
a
question everything.
Oh, no.
It makes me realize, like, I listen to her album now in a whole different light because I'm pretty sure that her and Joe were broken up before the album was even released.
Yeah. I watched Miss Americana again last night, you guys, because I'm in this very deep denial that I won't be able to attend the Eras tour this weekend in my city.
Have you looked? Have you looked for tickets?
Oh, I looked, and we got the cheapest one at $1,007, and it is behind the stage. Okay, so here's my thing.
Why do they even sell those tickets?
Because they have like a huge catwalk. So like you won't see anything on the main stage, but you
that.
She doesn't spend a lot of time at the front of the stage. It's always in this diamond and
And the people in the back, they can't even really see the monitors, can they?
They put a TV back there for you to look at.
Oh, they do. Okay. Well, TV, I could watch it on TikTok for that. But like,
yeah,
I can't fathom the prices of these tickets. Like it's all over the news because she's going to be here this weekend. They're talking about traffic and all this, you know. And Chicago's a big city, and Soldier Field is like 62,000 seats, which isn't a lot compared to some of the other stadiums she's been to. So I'm thinking that people are going to be outside of that stadium in droves listening to the concert. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there's bridges around there where you can kind of see over the stadium wall.
Well, you should do
there's
that.
Other...
I see people doing that at all of the tour stops. I think it's kind of fun.
I know. Mia was like, let's just listen from the parking lot. And I was like, are we those people? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I could be bothered with the traffic and like just to sit in the parking lot. It's so aggravating. But like, I know that Taylor Swift doesn't want this price gouging to happen. But then you talk about stuff like that and how she's putting a solo on a fucking album that you can only get at this concert. And it's like, but I also watched Miss Americana last night, and she's trying really, really hard, I think, just to stay relative. And she doesn't have to try that hard at this moment in her career, but like she's kind of getting up there in age, and she's been around for a really long time. So like, will she start to die off? Like, will this whole crazy phase that people are having, will it go away? Like, maybe she's worried about that.
I truly don't think so, because like at her concert, there was adults, like grown ass adults like me, and also children like
me,
under 10, who were, we were all in the same place worshiping the same God, you know?
Yeah, true though. I know, that's what Mia said. She's like, she's really covering all generations, which is a hard thing to do as an artist.
Yeah.
But I don't, maybe she'll be another Prince or I don't know. I was going to say Michael Jackson, but never mind.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like she's there already.
Yeah.
She's a pop icon. And she's only 100%.
She's what, like 35, 36?
I think she's 33.
Let's see.
She's 33.
Oh, wait.
I guess we could Google it.
I can't Google it because I'm uploading something.
Because your internet. She's 33. Just trust me, all right, Steve? Trust me.
Trust me. 33.
But yeah. So, well, it could be an experience. It could be a fun experience if you went and watched, but I also get that you don't like being around other humans, especially in that kind of quantity.
Yeah. So,
or traversing any roads outside of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine
stepping
if you were getting
on any
married
sidewalk
that weekend?
Outside of your house.
Well, that's a thing. Like the weddings, like I'm not working this weekend. I don't know how that happened, but it pisses me off even more because I don't have tickets, you know, like I have nothing to do this weekend and Taylor Swift is just going to be in town, you know, but the weddings in the city are going to be fucked.
Yeah. Like how do you even, and like people plan their weddings like a year in advance. And when did these tour dates drop? Like less than a year ago for sure.
Oh yeah.
Like you just didn't, you would have had no indication to plan around it. I would not have my wedding downtown Chicago on the same day that Taylor Swift is coming, but like you can't change
your
wedding date.
Plan it. But like, also, I would not have my wedding downtown Chicago anytime during the summer, because this is the thing. This is what Chicago does. There's so many fests. There's Taste of Chicago. There's Lollapalooza.
Oh, I loved Taste of Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they did something different last year where they did like different, they had it on like multiple days, but it was like different vendors. So it wasn't as packed or something. I don't know. They tried to do something different after they opened up after COVID, because they stopped doing it for like 3 years, you know, 2 years, Dang. 3 years. But anyway, like downtown Chicago in the summer is ridiculous as it is. Having a wedding and like driving around doing photos is just so... Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho.
But yeah, I get what you're saying about her like capitalizing on... the fact that, like, you know, just coming out with all these different things to buy.
Yeah.
I mean, because the girl doesn't need any more money. So, like, well, I can understand.
The whole, like, exclusive on a CD. Like, I know people still like CDs. There's people out there who be like, I still listen to cassette tapes. You know, you're always going to have those people. But, like, I physically don't own a CD player anymore. Like, I don't own a CD player. So
they don't even have them in cars anymore.
So, you know, yeah, it's just like, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, the Swifties are going to come to me. Like, the Swifties are going to come for me on this, but that's greedy. I really believe that. Like, I really believe that. She's a huge artist. Like, come on.
It's
like, I see like small authors doing stuff like that, or just like authors for like books and stuff. It doesn't sit right for Miss Swift to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not a diehard fan, so that's probably why.
Yeah. If you listen to the song, I think you'll realize like why she didn't include it on the CD, because it's called a From the Vault track. You know, these are tracks that did never make it on her CDs, which we're seeing a lot from her re-releases. Uh-huh. Literally don't know when I was converted to a Swiftie, but it's full on happened.
Me too.
So it's a From the Vault track, but if you listen to it, it really, like, if that would have been in the CD or the album when she released it, everyone would have known that she was... like the relationship was over, and I feel like she was trying not to do that until it was announced. But there's been rumors that Joe's camp announced that they broke up, maybe because he was like seeing somebody else. But like, I think it was supposed to be just like a quiet thing, like no one's acknowledging it. So now that it's been acknowledged, I feel like that's why she released it now, because it kind of really doesn't paint him in the best light. Because if you listen to the song, it's basically like one of the lines is, how can you say you love somebody and you can't tell that they're dying? You know, like all of this stuff. Like, it's pretty brutal.
Okay, but how do we listen to it? How did you listen? Did you buy the CD?
Well, it popped on TikTok, so I screen recorded it.
Okay, we'll send it to us.
So
thanks.
When I go in my car, I just like go into my photo albums and I'm like, let's just play this. But you can find it on like Spotify now. People have uploaded like bootleg. So it's not from the Taylor Swift, but like other people.
Okay.
So it's called You're Losing Me. It's a really good song. It's haunting.
Oh.
Stop.
Gotta be in the right mindset. Dear.
You're losing me. Anyway, let's get to our topic. Let's get into it. Let's be that podcast. Let's get into it 43 minutes in.
Oh, it's 43 minutes. I was going to keep talking about Taylor. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
We got to get on the topic. No, that's okay. It's really nothing.
Okay.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Girls.
Oh, yeah, you're leading.
The fungus gnats are out in droves.
They are
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we heard you clap three times on a time we weren't supposed to be clapping.
You know what happened is I repotted my Thai constellation, which I have in soil because aeroids and passive hydro setups, not a good idea. At least from my mm-hmm. humble opinion, you will never be able to keep something like that, keep sizing up to what it needs and have that be mm-hmm. sustainable for you.
And you'd
be dumping like huge. A gallon of nutrient solution in every time yeah. you water. So it's like, no. But anyway, so I repotted my Thai constellation and my Carnosa into brand new soil. It wasn't De La Tanks. I apologize, but I got Fox Farm at the nursery mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. amended it with some like cocoa chips and pumice, etc. But no matter mm-hmm. where you buy soil, no matter what soil you buy, it's going to have fungus gnats because they all have vent holes in it to not get... Mm-hmm. And they're all stored out in the open. Like you're just... I mean,
right. And sitting it's moist outside. In there.
Yeah.
So...
It's not avoidable.
I'm completely overrun by fungus gnats right now. I've inhaled so many of them as I'm like talking really? For work. Just right down the throat. Just right in there.
Oh, right in there.
Horrifying.
Oh, God.
It's the worst. So I haven't really done anything right now other than release the sticky traps. I've released the sticky traps. You know, I've been seeing some things on the IG about, you know, the thing is, oh, you got to let your plant dry out. You let your plant dry out. I don't really buy that. I got to be honest.
No, I don't either.
I don't think
anymore.
It's a thing.
Really?
No. I
because
mean... Yeah, go.
I've let my plants dry out a lot. I am a girl who lets them dry the fuck out. And it'll be like 15 days between waterings. There is no water. And then I'll water the plant and then here they come.
Yeah.
So like they're in there, but they're just not coming out until you... Like they're there regardless, but they're not coming out until you actually water.
Yeah.
Or they're multiplying when you water.
Yeah, I mean, I truly don't think that they need that moist. Like, I think that's a little bit of a fallacy that's kind of being purported as common care. Mm. I truly don't think it's a real thing. So, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with this. Like, I got the sticky traps. Part of me is like, maybe I'll just get my beneficial nematodes again because honestly, that wiped out my fungus gnat problem. And now that I have two big pots that I repotted. I don't have a lot of things in soil in this house. Mm-hmm. Those two big things, part of me is like, maybe I'll just do an order again and just like knock them out with the beneficial nematodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was going to say like the plants are not small plants. They're big. So even if the drying out was a factor here and that would help, it's going to take a long time for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year I used a systemic that targets fungus gnats as well. And that helped a ton.
Was that your SNS 209?
Yeah. And that's not to say I don't get them, but I do get them, but yeah.
I wonder if my Pure Crop 1 targets fungus gnats. I'm going to look at it.
Check the label. Sometimes people ask me if like specific systemics will handle specific pests. I don't know. Just read the label. Like the label should say, like the front label will say the big ones. But then if you open up the like instruction packet on the back that you usually have to peel open, they'll have like a complete list of all the pests mm-hmm. that get killed by this systemic. So that's what I've done so far. I put out the traps. Mine usually starts in the greenhouse cabinet because it's so moist in there, so wet. Mm-hmm. Like the plants, it's just what is going on? What's going on? Adam just had a no. So it's really bad in there, and I held off watering in there for probably like a week longer than I should have because I just did not want to open the cabinet because those gnats are going to go on my other plants.
Yeah, they're going to travel.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kept it closed for a long time, and then I put a bunch of sticky traps in there
and probably like cut down the population by about half. And then I watered with my systemic, and I hope that that helps. But yeah, it's a yearly thing, you know?
And yeah. Mm-hmm. And why are we always surprised? We're like, oh God, yeah, the fungus.
What the hell is happening?
It's like when you get sick, gosh. Like you didn't realize how easy your life was until you're suddenly sick and you're like, I will never take my health for granted again. Like,
yeah.
I will never take fungus gnats not going up my nose for granted again. And then it, and then of course you do.
And then it happens. Oh man.
Oh no. Yeah. I have my traps out because I literally just watered everything. And I feel like this watering was a big one for some reason. Like I just neglected my plants last time. So like everything needed to be watered. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, there, I can already like see it happening. So I put some traps in all of my soil plants, and sure enough, there's some on there, but it's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I will say at this point in my life, like I do remember buying like plants, you know, every once in a while we probably all bought plants because we're like, oh, you know, I have a house, I should put a plant here, before we were actually into plants. And I distinctly remember seeing like fungus gnats, but I thought they were fruit flies. And so I was like, oh, yeah, they're all coming from this plant, and immediately like yeeted it into the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yeah, and now I'm just like eating fungus gnats on a daily basis. And I was like, this is life. You know, I just feel like I'm the frog in the pot that was slowly boiling. And now I'm just like, I'm just going to eat these bugs all the time.
It's like people who are not pet people, and then they go into someone else's house and they have cats and there's hair everywhere, and people are just like eating and there's hair on the table, and it's just like, yep, that's how it is. And
yeah,
and then you get pets and you're like, yeah, okay, that's how it is.
That's, yeah, how it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, because it's now summer and it's warm outside, I'm thinking of doing my sulfur treatment on all of my Hoya now, because my plan was to bring them all outside and do it outside, mm-hmm, with protective wear on. Yeah, because I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
Has it been a year since we've first started talking about this?
It took you
a year to come to grips with...
Oh, for sure. Probably longer than a year, I would say. I know. Because I definitely still have flat mite. And I do the whole spray them down in the sink downstairs. So I have the sulfur. I have a friend of mine who is another plant girl. She's like older. She's had plants longer than me. And she recently did a sulfur treatment on everything, and she swears by it, and everything is growing. And I'm like, you know, when you get those people that like have success with something, you just, I'm just going to leave those claps in.
Two.
Ooh, you got it.
Is that two or is that a slide?
Two of them.
I think that was a slide. I think I sliced her in half.
Decapitated.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, protective gear. Also do it in a spot, mm-hmm, that your pets won't get to. You know, like the dogs, yeah, you know. I don't know. Right. It will help. Are your Hoya growing? Like, have you noticed new leaves, new vines, new growth at
all? Well, my Velosa, remember how we talked about this and how we talked about how you wrap your Hoyas around the trellis? And I don't know the scientific term, but you were like, don't have the main tip of the Hoya going down because it wants to grow up. Anyway, I took it off of there and the fucker's growing now, and I've got like three new leaves on it. So that one and my Gray Ghost that I cut up, splashed with a bunch of water, submerged in water actually, and then propagated, is now growing. So it's just a telltale sign that I know I have, because my other Hoya are not. They're not growing.
Like nothing.
And they're
is
knobby.
Growing. Nothing's
right.
Growing,
nothing's
though.
Growing. There's a few of them. Like my Puba Calyx has a few new leaves on it, but that makes me feel like it's bad because Hoya will still grow despite having flat mite most
Some
of the
do.
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
The try.
Right. Or they'll come out like wonky leaves or whatever, but they're knobby. Well, they're not doing much. And I just feel like, you know,
I mean,
I think I'm going to do it.
Again, I don't know if I would recommend the sulfur anymore, but it did help knock the population down as a, like an intro. Just, you know, be smart about it. Use protective gear, all that kind of good stuff.
So what's the process in doing that? Like you get one of those little puffers and put it all over the leaves and all over the stems?
Some people painted it on, which I thought was whatever, to each their own. My Hoya were pretty big, so I couldn't do that. So I just used a garden sprayer. I emulsified it in like water, you know, a tablespoon into like a gallon, and then just sprayed it on my plants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a garden sprayer.
That's what I did. I put it in like a spray bottle with water.
Okay. Okay.
Shake it up.
Yeah, you have to keep it. It does settle, so you just have to keep shaking it. But
okay, I didn't know if like adding water to it would deactivate or whatever. I don't know. Okay, cool. I'll try that then.
And then leave it on there. And then I mean, you could leave it on there for a month, but technically, if you're going to be doing the sulfur, you should be doing it each week for like 2 months. But that's a lot. It is a lot. I didn't do it like that. So.
Yeah. And it sucks because I have to bring all of my plants from downstairs, upstairs, and outside. And I can't leave them out there because they will burn. Mm-hmm. They won't do good. And most are in Hoya. So I can't just. I mean, maybe I can leave them in my garage.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just sounds like a lot of work. And that's why I've been putting it off, because I'm lazy. And it's summer, and there's other things to do.
But not this weekend, because you don't have tickets to Taylor Swift, so why don't you do that?
Ooh,
God, I know. I'll just find someone live streaming it on TikTok, and I'll set up shop, and I'll just take care of my Hoya.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Done.
What are some other notable summer care stuff?
Well, everything is thirsty AF because
AF.
And I wanted to just talk about the reasons for this. Well, number one, the sun is out for longer, so they're able to photosynthesize for longer, right? So they're using more energy, therefore they're going to need more water to keep themselves going.
I am not over exaggerating. There are that many fucking fungus gnats here. Sorry,
that's a lot.
I just killed another one, but we're done. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I just noticed, especially my plant wall. Ooh, very thirsty. Very thirsty. Yeah. Those terracotta pots.
That's definitely a big one. I always get people that ask me questions about having my cactus outside. And most of my cactus, if not all of them, are in terracotta. And people are just like, I'll post in stories every day and it'll be like me watering the cactus. People are like, do you water them like every day? And I'm like, pretty much every other day if we don't get rain, because the terracotta is drying out in 2 seconds, you know, and they're not in the ground. So it's not like Arizona landscape. It's completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, they can get dry rot pretty easily and people don't.
Yeah.
They don't trust me. Live and learn, because it's happened to me.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the thing with putting plants outside, is like, it's really great for them, but at the same time, they're using more energy and water, and like the air outside dries things out so much faster.
Yeah.
The wind, like just so many factors. All of my cacti are in like 8-inch pots or bigger, and let's say 6-inch pots are bigger. So I probably water like once or twice a week.
Yeah.
But yours are in like
mine are smaller
little pots. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
Yes. I don't actually, the big ones, I probably water those once or twice a week, just like you. Like I have a couple that are in like 8-12-inch pots, but most of them are in like tiny individual pots. So they need a drink.
Yeah.
Every day.
Thirsty.
Those bitches thirsty.
Oh my gosh. I
need water.
The watering with my plants inside has been, I can't keep
a chore. Well, you're in Arizona. It sucks. It's
even worse there.
And you know, I brought in a pot. I went and found one, because like to just visualize, you know, these are the pots I love using, which are like,
yeah,
have they have like a, do you guys have this? Do you have these, Becca, or no?
No, I really like that though. That's cool.
So you have like the net pot that has slits in the bottom, and then this, which has like, you can see it has a like a wall, but then this is all like see-through, and that's where it keeps like the nutrient solution. But because it's open.
Sorry, is that like open or is it like clear?
It's open. Like it's,
okay.
Yeah.
So there's just like an inch or two.
Like an inch and a half, 2 inches.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so like, it's kind of nice because you don't really have to guess on like where your solution should go. Like you literally just fill it up until it starts overflowing and you're like, oh, that's good. But because it's open air, it like these have been, because some of my Hoya are still in these because Hoya don't need huge pots. You know, I have a Lacanosa that's like huge and trailing in one of these because that's just how it is. But it dries out like one to two days. And I was like,
really?
I cannot keep up with this. So I've been like repotting a lot of my Hoya into a, not a bigger pot, but just like a different situation. Maybe that has a deeper cashpo that's not out in the open. So like the solution doesn't evaporate as well as the plant uptaking it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, those evaporation. Are good. That's a big,
big
part of it too.
Those are great pots though. Like
I do love that.
Just for airflow and stuff. Yeah. Like they're not, cause I have the ones, I have the cash pose that look similar to that, or the net pots that look similar to that. But then the cash pose is all enclosed, but it grows algae. It kind of like, it's just stays super moist, which I guess you want now, but it's, they still get kind of nasty. That's a nice solution to that.
I do love these little pots, but I'm struggling with the watering, so that's been a chore.
I mean, luckily Hoya could go a little time without water. Like you're probably good for 5 days, 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah,
but don't want to.
I had a system of like, okay, like doing it this shelf this week, this shelf the next week, then it's like I could do 2 weeks between waterings and I just can't do that anymore. And it's, this is the first year that I'm really feeling like a little bit overwhelmed whenever I have to water. I mean, I have felt overwhelmed before, but when you can't like break it down into sections, it gets like, oh, can I keep up with this? Yeah.
And you have a lot more plants now because of the shop. So that's like just an added responsibility.
Yeah. Too many plants. Not really, but.
Yeah. Lots of plants. Well, and they're growing because it's growing season. So they're getting bigger. Yeah. And you guys both have, well, Adam primarily has most plants in pawn. And Nicole, would you say 50-50? Or what?
I would say it's probably like 70-30, 70 being soil now.
Yeah.
Because I actually took some of my Hoya, a couple of my Hoya, and then like I got some new plants. The new plants I'm getting in, I'm putting straight in soil. I think I'm gradually moving back into soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way I'm turning. I don't know. I don't really have a reason for it. But yeah, so like 70% is in soil.
Okay. Yeah. So I was going to say for fertilizer with Adam, like fertilizing doesn't really change for you, right? Cause you're just doing nutrients in the nutrient water and that's it.
24/7 all year round, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty easy.
Yeah. And then for soil users, fertilizing really kicks up in growing season. I've personally fertilized once a month in the growing season with the Tank Supermix organic fertilizer. I freaking love that stuff. It's the best.
Really?
It's so easy.
Though. Yeah. If you have soil plants, that's really a good fertilizer.
Yeah. It's so easy. It's just like all you have to do is just sprinkle it on top and then it works for, it's like a long-term fertilizer because like liquid.
Are they like the pellets?
No, it's just like a powder. Like it's a very, very fine solo.
Could you try again?
It's like a protein powder for your gym bros, you know? For your plants.
Exactly. Sorry, Daniel is calling me. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, it's just like a really fine soil and it's awesome. I love it. And well, and the thing is with liquid or synthetic fertilizer, it just kind of is like a an energy drink. Whereas this is more like a long-term solution. So
you don't have to do it as often.
It's no, not necessarily, but it just like stays in the soil for longer because if it's a liquid or liquid, basically it just goes right through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And down the drain. Whereas this, it's like a solid material. So it stays and keeps feeding. I don't know. I really like it personally. And not because I got a relationship with them, but like it is genuinely because I like it.
It's, I mean, it's a good fertilizer. That's what you need is you need, because like it, the reason you're fertilizing is because like all of that stuff's gone from your soil. So like it makes sense to put it back into the soil using an actual non-liquid form, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Have you guys ever used the, you know, the little green or blue or whatever, those sticks. Little slow release pellets or sticks? Have you ever used those? Like in your beginning of your plant journey?
I have like never, the but fertilizer Osmocote and all those things.
Or like the little, you know, like in nurseries, like you'll see like the little pellets in your soil.
I would say I would use them. I'm not against it. I think it's actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
But I've never used it.
Me either.
I haven't either.
Good story.
But like nurseries use them. So what?
It's a good story.
Yeah.
No, but I do see a lot of people. The Osmocote is the one I see a lot of people using where it's like you basically just like tip it in your pot akin to the tank's superfood, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else happens in summer?
Well, you can clear out your space because you can take your plants outside, which you two both have been doing.
True.
It always is a double-edged sword, though, because you're like, oh, I have more room. Let's fill it. And then winter comes around, you're like, well, shit.
Yeah. This you got to bring them back in.
This is going to be the year of not filling in the spaces for me. I can't because it's just too much. But I just moved two more plants outside, two of my ficus. Oh,
they're out there.
I deadheaded my fiddly fig, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, let me show you. They are in my propagation tubes.
There they are.
It looks kind of funny, but yeah. So
did you?
I did that, and then I brought the other two ficus outside.
Yeah, those ficus love being outside.
They love it.
They grew a lot last summer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they love it. And the frogs love it. Like, they just, everybody's happy. And I have a trellis that I want to fill with plants too, but I just don't know what plants I want to put in it. So I'm kind of still deciding, but yes.
So, speaking of ficus, Figgy Smalls not going outside.
Yeah. Did you see, I put a little poll on my stories today because I woke up this morning and I opened the blinds and I do my whole routine and I looked at her and she's currently putting out a new leaf. But then there's another leaf coming out again. And I did fertilize. So I'm like, okay, that's probably it. And I've been really diligent about keeping her hydrated. And she's right by the window. I'm just, okay, here's my thing. Like, taking her outside more than likely will not be a bad thing. It'll probably be a better thing. But what if she freaks out? And then she's happy. Like, most people are saying leave her alone. She's happy, obviously.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think? I'm curious. I don't know if you voted.
I would vote leave her alone.
I would too, because you know what? She's been through some shit already. You almost completely abandoned her in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And the only reason she got back in is because we were in her corner. And so now I just feel like...
corner.
Put baby in the corner and leave her there, okay?
Yeah. Well,
true.
And see, the thing is the thing with putting plants outside, the risk that you take is bringing them out, they'll get a lot of leaves, but bringing them in, they could potentially drop a lot, especially ficus.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen to me last year, but every other year that has happened. And so, like,
you know, it might have put out 10 leaves over the summer, but then it dropped 8 when I brought it in. So you're like, great, we just lost everything that we worked hard for.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, what was it about last year? Because that's the same thing that happened to me. Like, I thought wholeheartedly she was going to lose her fucking shit when I brought her in. And she didn't. She grew all winter, which blew my mind.
I don't know what was up with last year. There's something in the water last year where the plants just made it, because I was being extremely neglectful of my plants all winter long. Yeah. And they did fine. So I just...
They survived.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to leave her in the corner. I mean, my porch is, you know, missing her a little bit, but my porch will be just fine. We did some planting, like as far as like summer planty stuff goes outside of house plants. Like, we planted up a bunch of flowers in pots in the front and the backyard. We actually planted a lot of coleus this year in pots. And for some reason, I've never had coleus as a house plant. I know our dear friend Pam has a lot of coleus, like indoors. She loves it. It's Pamela on Instagram. But the squirrels freaking love coleus. They keep digging it out of my pots.
Really?
Yeah. It's like they're, I don't know what their deal is. I think it might just be because it's like fresh planter soil and they're just looking for a place for their nuts.
Yeah.
But it's only the coleus. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
That's interesting. Wow. I've had some animals eating my garden, which is very annoying. I'm about to go out there with some cayenne pepper.
The bunnies.
I think it might be squirrels, because it looks like they're digging holes, and then like my plants just happen to be like, they're like, oh, this looks good. Chomp.
Wait, but is the cayenne pepper thing the same as with dogs, like where you shouldn't use it because
it's like cruel?
Yeah,
it probably is. That makes me sad to think about. But like, I also bought zip ties so that I could make little cones to put around my seedlings, because once they get to a certain size, they don't dig them out. But it's when they're like little sprouts, they just love it. It must taste good. I don't know. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Well,
I was joking about the pepper, but it's tempting.
No, I know.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to put myself out there and, you know, throw myself straight under the bus, say something brave yet controversial. But when I lived in my old house, this was a few years ago. This was like, I was just listening to what people told me to do on the internet days, you know, and I had a prickly pear in my backyard and it was pretty big. And the squirrel kept taking literal chunks out of it, spines and all. I'm like, okay, what are you doing? Doesn't that hurt?
Ouch.
Just kept chomping away at it, you know? And I'm like, okay, like, I get it. Like, humans eat prickly pear too, but like, we despine it and cook it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then people were like, just use cayenne pepper, you know? So I put like a little bit in a spray bottle with some water and I did the cayenne pepper thing. And the squirrel literally ate the entire paddle. So not only did he not mind the spines that were probably hurting him, he thought that it was extra tasty and ate the whole damn thing. So apparently squirrels like it spicy.
Yeah, you gave him some spice. He's like, oh, thanks. Actually, this is really good spiced.
I feel like a Puerto Rican. I feel like a Puerto Rican in his hair.
Puerto Rican in his hair. I love that audio so much. Yeah. So that's what that squirrel in the neighborhood did. So I don't know. Maybe he just liked it spicy, but I don't know if it would necessarily be like a cruel thing, but maybe an animal that couldn't handle the heat would be bad and you wouldn't know, you know?
I think it's because it like gets in their eyes. Is that why it's considered cruel?
Oh. Yeah,
not because they're ingesting it, because it would get in their eyes somehow.
If it got in their eyes and burned, then they paw at their eyes and kind of like almost sometimes claw it out.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like try to take their eyes out.
Because it's burning so much, you know, because they don't really understand. I don't know. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's how I've heard it too.
The squirrel was superhuman.
Yeah, because I'm imagining they're like walking around and it gets on their paws. And then if at any point in that day, if they haven't wiped it, they scrub their face.
Ooh.
That would be sad. I would not want to do that to a pet. I mean, not even a,
a pet or a... Oh, you know what? Listen to this. I have a rant. Let's talk about pets and plants. There's this YouTuber that I follow on TikTok, and this person has clearly commented on her videos like multiple times about this because she was like, again, I just... Okay, hold on. Pause. This woman just got a cat, okay? She has plants as well. She's not like us, but she has plants and she likes them and she's really good with them, actually. And because normal people couldn't be good with plants, they'd have to be YouTubers. Like, what? Why did I just say it like that? Sorry, that was weird.
I get it.
So she posts a video of just like her morning routine and like her cat is like following her around, just being a cat. And this person comments and is like, I just really wish that you would be more mindful. Like, again, I just wish you'd be more mindful about having plants around your cat. It's just really unsafe. Also, your essential oils, which the essential oils thing, like, yeah, actually, probably. But the plants, I was like, why are we doing this to people? And I was on a snark page a couple months ago because sometimes I look. Usually like big YouTubers, there will be like a snark page where people are just like, why are they doing this? Why? It's a hate page. It's a hate page.
You're on the dark web.
No. And it's not that I like consistently check up on these things, but if I suspect someone has divorced or something has happened, I will look.
That's the cheese.
Okay. Yeah. So is that on Reddit? Is that what... Okay.
Reddit is where I would look. Like, there's others that there's other websites, but Reddit is pretty much where I'll go. But like, I did it recently with Aspen because she stopped posting so much, and I was like, oh, what's she up to? So I just like looked at the page to see what other people were thinking, and I was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I think I've probably said that before. But anyway, point is, I was looking at one of those pages and they were talking about how this person with a dog, she had a Monstera Deliciosa. And they're like, I just still cannot believe that she keeps buying these toxic plants with her dog. It's just despicable. It's so irresponsible. Her dog needs to be taken from her. Blah, blah, blah. Like they were going
off. Oh, my God.
That's how people behave on these pages. So don't go on them. OK, just don't. Like, spend minimal time, if any, because people are like very, very toxic. But I'm like, you can have these pets and these plants. Like, why is that like automatically? Like, who's giving this misinformation that you cannot? I don't know. It just made me mad because I'm like, she's not irresponsible. If the cat was eating her plants, she would obviously do something about it. Like, what?
That's what I'm saying. Like, obviously, like with anything, if the cat scratches up your furniture, you're going to stop them from doing it. If a cat's eating your plant, you're going to take the plant away. Or my dogs have never bothered my plants. Mm-mm. Dogs don't do stuff like that unless they're like super baby puppies or I don't know, you know.
Yeah,
they just don't.
Cooper did when he was like a little puppy, and I caught it because, you know, you watch your animals. And also I've also read, this is brave yet controversial because I haven't looked like really deeply into this, but I did see someone post like most plants that are considered toxic, the pet would have to ingest like mass amounts of that plant, like the entire plant.
If they bite into it and it's the plant that like gives the crystals or whatever that like kind of makes their mouth hurt, they'll stop because it just like, I'm getting pain from just touching this with my mouth. Why am I going to keep going? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Unless it's a black lab. Yeah. I'm kidding. Because, you know, black labs are known for just like eating everything.
Yeah.
No, but that's so true. Like the pet, from what I've heard, would have to ingest a fuck ton of that plant, for lack of a better word.
Dogs. Some are different, but like I think lilies are really poisonous to cats. Like,
yes.
Big time. So some, it's a scale, but yeah, you're right. Like, these owners aren't just going to let their animal, like Patches has started biting Hoya. Thankfully Hoya are not toxic plants, but she started doing that. And I think it's because we got the dog. I think she's mad at us, but like, she's never done that before. But also like, she's thrown up a couple times and I'm like, well, stop eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I've moved the tempting ones away from the bottom shelves kind of thing. But
exactly. You can like move things around. I don't know. That's super unrelated to the current topic, but I just had to rant.
I feel like cats, though, are more like mischievous in that sense, where they'd be the ones more so than a dog to bother him. Mm-hmm. But like animals, dogs specifically, eat like raw meat that are loaded with like parasites, and they eat garbage out of the trash can that's been there for a week. You know, like their stomachs.
They literally eat their own shit.
Yeah, they lick their own genitals. Like I'm just and other dogs' genitals. Like let's.
They'll be all right. They'll be all right. But I mean, not to be irresponsible here, but check the list if you're worried about it, blah, blah, blah. But like you said, you know your pets. You're like, you're not going to let your pets do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's like a chronically online take, I think, in the houseplant community. That would be a fun episode. Chronically online takes in the houseplant community. I don't know if I could think of any more than just that one. We'll have to really dig deep for that.
Okay, well,
put it on the list.
This recently became a thing for me because of that TikTok I did about the beige flag. And someone commented, like, this is so online. And I didn't know what they were talking about.
Oh, I don't think that's a chronically online thing, the beige flag. I don't think that's a chronically online thing.
No, they were replying to someone who was like, this is a red flag. You know, they were like basically being like, yeah. So, but then
I'm
confused. Is that basically? Yeah, I'm confused too. That's why I'm bringing it up to the young person. Young person, can you educate us and be like, what chronically online means?
Yeah. Okay. So chronically online, it's okay. Think about like the simplest way I can put it. Okay, because I am a cusper, millennial Gen Z, so I'm not fully in, but I, you know, so I got a little bit of a handle on it. It's basically like whataboutisms is a chronically online thing. So you guys know what whataboutisms are, right? Okay, so let's say
I can guess
somebody like, I built my plant wall, okay, and I'm showing you how to do it yourself, and then somebody comments and says, well, what about people who can't climb ladders? What about people who are in wheelchairs?
Okay.
Then don't build it. Like if you're in a wheelchair and you don't climb ladders, then don't build a plant wall with a ladder. I'm not being ableist by putting out this tutorial. It's just it's not for you. You know what I mean? There's plenty of content for that.
Right.
So yeah, that's
okay.
That's like a chronically online take. It's like, well, what about this person? Or like I've seen several.
So the beige flag.
But what like they were saying that what they were saying with the beige flag thing is, you know, someone says something that's like, so Steve is not being problematic by repeating back this information. This is like a very like benign thing. Like it's not impactful on the relationship.
He doesn't know he's doing it. Yeah.
But also like he's, I'm pretty sure neurodivergent as well. And like just didn't remember where the information came from.
Yeah,
didn't
exactly.
Hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Like it's not a big deal. And like the chronically online thing would be somebody commenting and being like, this is a huge red flag. It means they don't listen to you. They're a narcissist and they're
That's exactly what the comment that the person was like, this is so online. And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Okay. It's just taking the absolute extreme because like,
yes.
Could someone who is a narcissist do that? Yes. But that doesn't mean that Steve does that. Is a narcissist and like has all these it's just like assuming the worst or assuming the worst of people's intentions is like really chronically online. There's like so many
This is a fun topic. We could do this next week. Do we already have a topic next week? You know,
oh we're gonna have to make a list though, because the only one I can think of is this plant thing, this like pet thing.
Oh, well, I can think of whenever someone's like takes a picture of a tiny piece of fuzz and everyone's like, that's infested with mealybugs and blah, 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 blah.
No.
It's like, that's just a little mold. That's just a little mold.
No, honey.
That's cat hair.
It's a hair. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My clean leaves are not clean.
I'm going to have to think about that. We'll each come up with like two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's wrap this up, right? I forgot that I was leading this episode. Thanks for joining us on this journey through chaos.
Organized chaos.
Don't forget to follow us over on Instagram at Potted Together. Leave us a review. If you're exiting, you don't have to tell us.
Yeah.
No, but you'll provide joy for us. Anyway, leave us a review. share with a friend if people like chatty episodes that aren't necessarily targeted about plants, but, you know, involve plants. I don't know how else to say that. And what else? Patreon. Ooh, our Patreon episode we just recorded. That's going to be going out for the month of June. So gay.
It's funny.
Just kidding. No, we did more
we
Am
made
I the
it
Asshole.
Extra gay.
And that was really
yeah.
fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
those are fun
to read. So yeah. Head over to Patreon, support us, give us money.
Okay, no. In exchange for quality additional content.
And the content
yeah, it's
that
pretty
we
quality.
Provide, you know.
It's pretty yeah. quality, I'm going to say that. Yeah, anyway. I'm editing it.
But you can also follow us all individually. My Instagram is at Natude. Becca is at De La Plants. And Nicole is at My Clean Leaves. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.